Okay, so today we're doing Daf Tes in Maseches Chagiga. We're at the Mishnah, four lines from the top, and Tes Amud Aleph. So Mishalo Chag B'Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag. So we're talking about bringing the Karban Chagiga. So day one, you forgot to bring it, or you didn't bring it. Says the Mishnah, Chogig Es Kol HaRegel. You have the entire rest of the regel to bring the Karban Chagiga. V'Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag. It's all tashlumin, as we've said previously, that as long as you wanted to bring it day one and for some reason you couldn't bring it, you have tashlumin, you have the other days of the Chag, including Shmini Atzeres of Sukkis, if you're on Sukkis, to bring that karban. Of a haregel, of a lo Chag, once the regel passes, whether it be the 7 days of Pesach or the 8 days, including Shmini Atzeres of Sukkis, eino chayev bachriyu. So you're done. There's no makeup. You lost. Get a zero. Al zeh nemar, and on this the pasuk means when it says meuvas lo yuchal liskon, v'chisaron lo yuchal imanos. Something that's crooked cannot be fixed. Something that's missing cannot be filled. Meaning there are certain things that when you do them wrong, they're just simply not correctable. And finishing off a yontif without having brought that karban, there's no more makeup. You don't wait till the next regel of the following year. You've basically lost out on that opportunity. Now once the Mishnah discussed that pasuk, the Amoraim and Tanaim are going to discuss, I have other examples of things that are crooked that cannot be fixed.
What about Pesach Sheni? You bring the Chagiga on Pesach Sheni?
No, not the Chagiga.
No,
that's Dafka the Karban Pesach. But we are going to get to that at the bottom of the Amud. Rav Shimon ben Nasya Omer, Ezehu Muvas Shel Eino Chol Liskon. What's an example of something crooked that cannot be fixed? Zeha Ba'al Ha'erva, V'hold Mimena Mamzer. That is, right, we know the only time that a relationship produces a mamzer is if that isser is a chi of kares. So for example, a kohen marrying a grusha, which unfortunately sometimes we know of people who actually, you know, irreligious Jews who actually do this, so that's an isser to do that, but that's an isser lav. So the children, unfortunately, are a little bit tainted, but they're chalal. They're not a mamzer. Because since the isser was only a lav, the children of product are only a chalal. But let's say it was a real big isser. Let's say it was incest. Let's say it was, you know, something like that where it's an isser kares. There the children are mamish mamzerim, and there's much bigger issues. So what the Mishnah is saying is...
Isn't Anita also kares?
Anita's also kares.
Anita's offspring is not a mamzer.
It's machlokes. The first Tosos on the Daf Beis and Nida has a big discussion as to isser Nida. In this Nida is a very big exception to the rule in terms of the fact that there's several components of the isser, but it's complicated, this or nida. So what the Mishnah over here is saying is that if a person has bia with someone who they're usher to and who be a chayiv kares for, if that child is a mamzer, that's unfixable. Because why? Because even if you did tshuva, that mamzer is still walking around, Rashi says. There's no way you're not going to kill that mamzer. Although, I jest, and yet, there is a shita out that you should just be aware of. The Shelas Yayavitz in a tshuva writes that it actually would be mutter to abort the fetus of a mamzer. Meaning, if there was a relationship that took place, a bia happened for an isser kares, now the woman's pregnant, Yayavitz says you can abort the fetus. Right. Not only that, he goes as far as to say that even nowadays, if a woman had relations with a man, and the Torah says that back in the day when there was a beis din, she'd be chayev to kill herself, she'd be chayev to be put to death by beis din, she can commit suicide. Rav Moshe and Atshuva says, he cannot, his lashon is, he cannot believe that the Yayavitz wrote this. Both those shitas. He says, we do not accept that at all, but that is on the book, so I said it in jest, but there's really no way to correct a mamzer, and therefore, that's part of the pasuk of, something that's crooked cannot be fixed. Itema begone begozel, you might say, oh, same thing when I steal something. Or what, you know, we know the difference between a ganav and a goslin. Ganav's at night, goslin's by day in the open. Either one of those cases, that's not crooked that can't be fixed, meaning that can be fixed because Yachol Hulach Zero will be talking. You can give it back and you'll fix it. Now, Rashi says, what does that mean, Yachol Lahachzir? You'll give back the money or the object and you'll be fixed from sin. Is that true? Yes. So, Moshe Netshuva says, gives an example. Says, the Mishnah, Sanhedrin, and other places says that one of the Psuli Edus is being a ganav. Right, gambling, right, when you're looking for edim under your chuppah, you gotta make sure the person isn't they were a long time ago and they did chew for it, so it's okay, but someone who's currently gambles or steals, it's a problem. So, he wants to know, how do we know, let's say a person stole 5 years ago, how do they now become kashrul edus again? Is it enough that they simply return the object, or do they have to do tshuva? And apparently it's a machlokes Rambam and the Ravid. But over here, the Mishnah seems to be saying that simply returning the object absolves you from sin. So where does tshuva play a role in this? Simply giving it back? So one could suggest that maybe we assume that if a person gave it back, that's at least part of the tshuva process. It's probably, unless you're being coerced to give it back, if you're doing it on your own volition, then you've come to your senses, you've realized the error of your ways, so maybe there's some element of tshuva there, or Rashi, because Rashi was what said, "B'yitaki mituka min hachet," maybe he's saying, he's passing like the Ravid, who says that just giving it back completely absolves you from sin, so then what's tshuva for? We said this in a couple weeks ago, that there might be two components of sin. Right, tshuva and sin are really not the same thing. You need to rectify the sin. That might be bin adam lechavero. Tshuva might be bin adam lemakom. So just because I did good with you, God still has a problem because you still didn't listen to him.
Isn't also tshuva when you're in the same situation and you don't do it again? So now another object, I decide not to steal it this time.
You haven't really completed the tshuva process just by giving it back, you're saying.
It might just be the beginning
of the process. Right? That's what I was saying with Rashi. It could be that it's metuka menachit in the sense that you began the tshuva process by starting the process of giving it back and now hopefully not doing it again. Rishon ben Yochai Omer, Ein korin muvos el lemishayim mesukam betchila benisavos. He says, what this pasuk really means, it can't mean any of these things. Because the word crooked, things don't start out crooked. Things start out straight, and then they become crooked. So what he's saying is the pasuk has to be referring to someone or something that started out straight, that started out good, then became crooked. And now that crookedness can't be fixed. So what's an example of that? V'izeh, who is that? Zeh Talmud Chacham aporish min haTorah. Again, started out Talmud Chacham, then he leaves the Torah. We'll see what that means. And for some reason, that's a crookedness that cannot be fixed. But the pshat in the pasuk has to be someone that started out positive and then became crooked. Versus these situations of mamzer where there was no straightness. The entire relationship was based on Isser, and then the child was an Isser. The product of an Isser. There was no straightness. So that's why he learns the pasuk a little differently. So,
Maran Brachos uses this pasuk by Tashkumen that you could make up if you missed mincha by mistake. Let's say you could do two ma'aribs, but if you did b'mezid,
you can't be fixed.
What's crooked can't be fixed. You can make up the shmanes.
Oh, interesting. Okay, fine. We're actually going to get to that on the bottom about tashlumin and how it comes up here. So Minani Mili says the Gemara. How do I know that I could even do tashlumin on Shmini Atzeres? Now, what's the basis of this kasha? Why are we asking this?
Different holiday.
Right? Why? Who said?
The Torah.
Does the Torah say? Well, what do we say? The Gemara in several places says there's Pazar Kashav. Does that sound familiar? There's an acronym for six things that are unique by Shmini Atzeres. There's Nushachiyanu, there's a different par, there's all these different things. There's a Zman, Nushachiyanu, all these different things that come up differently in Shmini Atzeres. And the Gemara even says it's a regel bifnei atzmahu. It's a new regel. So that's why we understand why Tashlumin the entire 7 days of a holiday, because you're on the holiday. So you missed day one, which was the Iker Chiyuv. So you have the holiday, but now you're going to a new holiday and making up for the old holiday. If Shmini Atzeres is not Sukkis, then how could you on Shmini Atzeres make up for a Sukkis Karban? That's the Gemara's question. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishur B'Shmal, because Nemar Atzeres B'Shvi'i Shal Pesach, it calls the seventh day of Pesach in the Torah Atzeres, V'Nemar Atzeres B'Shmini Shal Chag, and it also calls Shmini Atzeres Atzeres. So we're going to make a hekesh, a gzera shava. Ma lahalon l'tashlumin, just like over there by Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, we know that the seventh day of Pesach, you can bring a karban if you miss day one. So therefore, you have a concept where on an atzeres, you can do tashlumin for the day one of that holiday. Afkan, also on Sukkis, l'tashlumin, the atzeres of that holiday can be used for tashlumin. What do you mean?
Who is this called?
Right. But over here, we're referring to just the Pesach and Sukkot.
You can do Tashlumim on Shavuos for Pesach.
No, we're talking about the holiday itself.
It's called Atzeret.
It's called Atzeret.
The Gemara has this drasha. I don't know how you could extend it beyond. But the Gemara says over here, Mufne. So what's the concept of a Mufne as it relates to Gzera Shavuos? Mufne literally means open. What this means is that when we take a word and use it to compare another context. We have to make sure that that word in its own context is unnecessary. For example, if you have Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, you can't say, oh, Vayidaber, really, oh, he says Vayidaber there. No, Vayidaber means, and he spoke. If it didn't say that, how would you know he spoke? Meaning certain words are necessary because they're explaining the Pasuk, and certain words are descriptive or adjectives, and if they weren't there, or that exact word wasn't said, we wouldn't lose anything. So Mufne means we can only make Gzeira Shava on words that in their own context are either out of place, unnecessary, and therefore what we're saying, it has to be that when I said that Seres by Pesach, and by Shmini Atzeres, it's mufne. The words are unnecessary, superfluous. Why? Because the ilav mufne, if that wasn't the case, if those words are being used for their own context, then ikla mifrach, then we'd be able to ask a very simple question. What's the question? Mal shvi'i shel Pesach, shekin enu chalk mishel afanav. You probably were all thinking this. It's true, the word Atzeres is by both. At the end of the day, the seventh day of Pesach is still part of the same holiday as day one. So it's an Atzeres, that's part of the same holiday as the Chiyuv. Tomar b'shmini shel chad shechalk mishel afanav. So would you really apply that to a case where the Atzeres is actually a different holiday entirely than the day one? So the yisod that the Gemara is giving is that when it comes to Gzeira Shava Mufne, we don't use logic. Meaning, the elevated status of Gzeira Shava Mufne is, once we can establish that the word is superfluous, unnecessary, now the Rabbanon, the Chazal, have the power to use it for the drasha they want, or that they saw through Ruach HaKodesh, or through Siyata Dishmaya, even though, logically, you can disprove why that doesn't make sense. Whereas, if a word is necessary, now, if you try to use Gzeira Shava with it, we can say, well, it doesn't make sense. But that's the power of a Gzeira Shava Mufne. And therefore, even though it's true, the logic isn't really there to learn out Atzeres by Pesach to Atzeres by Shemini Atzeres, but because it's a Gzeira Shava Mufne, we're going to allow it. Now, why is it Mufne?
Does that strengthen the argument about Shavuos?
You could only use it once.
What do you mean? It strengthens the argument about it, because now Atzeres, oh my God, it's 7 weeks later. It doesn't matter.
You can only use it once.
Why? It's still
a Gzeira Shava. One and done? What is that? Is there a rule like that?
Or would you have comparing
it? Well, no, we don't make up our own Gzeira Shava. Just because they made up one doesn't mean we could say, oh, they use that word. I'll use that word in a different context.
Well, but I mean, it's a good...
There might be logic there. It's true. I could...
No, because there is no logic. The logic would be... The logic is, oh, it's ridiculous. It's 7 weeks later.
Right.
But the lack of logic is what they're relying on here.
Right, but at the end of the day, we don't... If Gzeira Shava is not there in the Gemara, we can't assume that it's being made.
The fact is not something...
The relationship to Shavuos is better than the last 7 days.
I 100% agree with you. But at the end of the day, they didn't make that drasha. So now, why is it mufne? How do we know it's unnecessary? So the Gemara said li'i, which means it's true. It's true it's mufne. Afnu ye mufne. How do I know? Because michti, my atzeres. What does the word atzeres literally mean? Atzur basiyas malacha. It means stop from work. So it's telling you that these days are asur basiyas malacha. So therefore, we're saying the word, it says the word atzeres to teach me that I don't do malacha on these days. V'haksiv lo sase malacha. We have another pasuk for that. So it sounds like the word atzeres, again, in the context, it's probably referring to the holiday itself. But the fact that it chose the word atzeres is unnecessary and superfluous, because it can't be to teach me that we have an isur malacha, because we have another pasuk that tells me there's isur malacha. So why did it say the word atzeres? It should have just called it Shvi Shel Pesach. It could have just called it Shmini Atzeres. Rather, atzeres tekatzer rachmano lamali. Why did it specifically choose the word atzeres by the seventh day of Pesach and by Shmini Atzeres? Eloshma mina leifnuye. It must be, it's open to learn the Gzeira Shava, Atzeres, just like Atzeres by Pesach, you can do Tashlumin, so too, even though the logic doesn't line up, so too, you can do Tashlumin on Shmini Atzeres, if you didn't bring the Chagiga on the first day of Sukkot. The Tana, Maisila Mahacha. This whole thing, look at the first line of the Gemara, was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. Amora, that we know came later than Tanoim, and in terms of authoritative nature of their sources, Tanaic sources are much more authoritative. So anytime you have an option of bringing a Amoraic source or a Tanaic source, we'd rather bring a Tanaic source. So this opinion was Rabbi Yochanan and Amora, but as Rashi points out, a Tana, an earlier source, an earlier authority brought a proof from a different source. A proof to what? A proof to the fact you can bring Tashlumin on Shmini Atzeres for the first day of Sukkot. D'tanya, because the Braisa says, the Pazik says, V'chagosem oso chag l'Hashem shivas yomim. So you celebrate it, the holiday, with Hashem 7 days. So that refers to bringing the Karban Chagiga. So now, we already spoke about this many times. How many Chagigas do I have to bring on Yontif? One. We had a debate. What if I come and I have one in my hand? What if I don't have one in my hand? But at the end of the day, in terms of my Chiyuv, it's one. But yet it says, Shivas Yomim. So Yachol, if you read the Pasuk, Pashur Pshat, Yachol Yechogig Baholech Kol Sheva. You might think, I have to bring a new Karban Chagiga every single day. Tamolomar Oso. It says, V'chagosem Oso Chag. Oso is limiting. It means it. It means the first day. Oso atachogig. V'iatachogig kol sheva. Okay, that makes sense. Oso. But then we're back to our question of then why does it say 7 days? What are the 7 days referred to if it doesn't mean you bring the carbon all 7 days? Im kain, says the Gemara, lama nevar shiva. Why does it say 7 days if you're only bringing the chagiga for 1 day? Says the Gemara, litashlumin. So when the pasuk says v'chagoso oso chag l'Hashem shivas yam means you bring the chagiga on day one, shivas yamim, but I have a 7 day grace period, or 6 day grace period. If I didn't bring it on, I have all 7 days of the holiday to bring it if I missed on day one. So now that explains Pesach. What about Sukkot? Because Sukkot, we're referring to the 8th day. Uminayin shem lo chag yom tov harishon shel chag, shechogig b'holiches kol haregel v'yom tov ha'acharon. How do we know that includes Shmini Atzeres? Tamalomar b'chodesh hashvi tachogu oso. On the 7th month, right, on Sukkot, I celebrate it. So that seems to be more inclusive, more than 7 days, an entire month. But then we expanded it too much. Because Iba Chodesh Hashvi, Yoho Yechogi Beholecha Chodesh Kulo. So what, I have Tashlumin after Yontif itself? On a random Thursday after Sukkot, I can bring a Karban Chagiga? That doesn't make sense. But the Pasuk says, I have, what do you mean, Bachodesh Hashvi? So no. So Tamalomar Oso. Oso atachogig, v'yatachogig chutzalo. So you have a limiter, and then you have an expander. The expander is not just 7 days. You have the entire Chodesh Hashvi. But then it says Oso, limiting it to the holiday itself. Now, we have two holidays, but Oso means both holidays, but not a regular weekday. So again, so this is the Tanaic source to prove that you have Tashlumin on Shmini Atzeres for day one. It's from the fact that this is Chodesh Hashvi, which would seem to imply I could bring it the entire month, but then Oso limits it to any holiday day, which would also include Shmini Atzeres. You have two sources for this.
It's an awkward way of saying, they could have said it perhaps a little bit more direct.
Correct.
Never do. So what is this Never do. With the word Atzeres? We said the word Atzeres was extra, or Mufne, we don't need the word Atzeres, so does he have any limit for the word Atzeres?
I don't know.
Does Rabbi Yochanan have a Tana then to back him up? He has to, right?
He doesn't have to.
Because nobody else is.
Why does he have to? Amoraim bring sources and Tanaim bring sources. The Tanaic source would be more authoritative. So now, we've had this concept of Tashlumin. My Tashlumin. When we say, you bring Tashlumin, and this was literally the first daf in the Masechta, if you remember, it wasn't too long ago, said, what's Tashlumin? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Tashlumin L'Rishon, Rabbi Oshi Amar, Tashlumin Zelazet. When we say, you have a grace period, what does that mean? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, what that means is that day one was the Iker Chiyuv, and everything else is a makeup for day one. Day 2 through 7, or maybe even day 8, it's all a makeup for day one. Whereas, Rabbi Oshia says, that's not really how we should view it. It's not that day one is the end-all be-all. Rather, it's that day one was the ideal time to bring a karban. If I didn't, Hashem says, I'll allow you to bring it on day 2 also. So it's not a makeup for day one, it's a grace period to allow you, right? It's like when you're taking a test in school. Is this a makeup test or am I just taking the test a day later? Not for me to be, maybe a makeup test is a different test. Whereas a test day later is the test, just day later.
You mean whether or not this is an extension of day one or a separate day itself?
Correct. And Hashem just allowed you to extend your chiyuv, but it's not a makeup day. Now, obviously, if you want to take two sides of something, you need to have the nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? So we said this on daf days as well. Says the Gemara, my beinayhu, am rabzeira, chigir biyom rishon, vinispashe biyom shinik beinayhu. You have a cripple on day one, who gets better on day two. We know the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, chigir is putter from re'iyah. So does he have a chiyuv tashlumen? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan amar tashlumen derit l'rishon. It's all a makeup test for the day one chiyuv. But here, chiyuv de lo chazi berishon, he never had a chiyuv. Remember we spoke about this with the onen, with Havdalah. So since he didn't have a chiyuv on day one, no makeup for him. If you were sick on the day of the test, then there's no makeup test for you if you view it all as being it's that day or nothing. But, and therefore, if you weren't roi, if you weren't fit to bring the carbon on day one, there's no tashlumin for you. Lo chazi b'sheni. Rabbi Yoshi amar, tashlumin zel azeh. No, this is a grace period. God says, you didn't bring it day one, you can bring it day two as a chiyuv on day two. And if that's the case, afal gad lo chazi b'rishon, chazi b'sheni. So right now, you're sick, now you're feeling better, now you bring the carbon today. So that's a big machlokes.
So in other words, your obligation with the Ramosi would be the day you feel better.
Would be the day you feel better. Yeah. Correct. Now this is the part, I already told my father, this is going to be 7-8 lines, it's going to be a little complicated, so we're going to get through it. But we need a little...
It's late.
Did you do that in your same Ashazi?
Harold knows the crowd.
So,
one after nine.
So the background necessary is as follows. Right? We're familiar with the concept of a Nazir. So a Nazir, if a person just accepts a Zeros, what's a Stam Nazirus? How many days?
30 days.
30 days. How do we know that?
Torah.
It's actually it's a gematria. It's the word yiyah, gematria 30, fine. So the Gemara says that. So now, what happens if in the middle of his nazirs for 30 days, he becomes tameh? We know nazir is not to become tameh to anything. So what happens? So, but he has to start again, but there's a delay. Because he has to first count 7 days of clean, where he doesn't become tameh to anything. At the end of those 7 days, he shaves his head, he goes to the mikvah, and then the next, he actually shaves his entire body, and then the next day, on the 8th day, he brings a carbon for the tumah, and then on that 8th day, he starts counting day one for 30 again. Okay? That's the background. And what we're going to be discussing now is there's also a concept. This person really can't stay away from cemeteries, apparently. So what happens if a nazir becomes tameh, let's say day 15? Okay, starts counting 7 days. 7th day comes, he was clean the whole time, no tumah, shaves his head, goes to the mikvah. Now it's the night of the 8th, meaning the night before he brings the karbon. Let's say he becomes tameh that night. And the issue is, if you become tameh in the middle of your, let's say, 7 days of already needing to become clean, you just extend your count. So let's say someone on a Tuesday became Tamei. She's going to have to go Tuesday to Tuesday of clean. And on Thursday comes Tamei again. So you have to start those 7 days again. It's going to keep pushing it up. And then at the end, the 8th, carbon, and then 30 days again. So a person can keep doing that. But the question is, let's say he does that. How many carbonos does he bring when he becomes Tamei Tuesday and then Thursday? Right, so if he becomes Tameh Tuesday, he counts 7 days, and then on the 8th day, he brings one carbon for his Tumah. If in the middle of his clean, waiting to come Tahor days, he becomes Tameh on Thursday, so now he's going to wait 7 days until the following Thursday. So the answer is, he only brings one carbon.
Because it's all
part of the same, never got out of his own way, so to speak. And the issue is going to become, if a person becomes Tamei on the 7th night, or we'll call it the 8th night, the night after he went to the mikvah, but before he brought the karbon, is he still in the time frame of his 7 days? In which case, he would only bring one karbon tumah, or is he now outside of that, in which case this tumah requires an entire new karbon? Okay, so that's the necessary background.
In this case, he still has to count another 7 days, even though he became tamei after he went to the mikvah.
Correct, but the question is how many karbanos does he bring? How many karbanos he brings, correct. So, what?
But he was eligible.
He was eligible too.
Right.
So that's the question. So says the Gemara over here, Umi Amr Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan Shita was that when it comes to Tashlumin, it's all Tashlumin de Rishon, and therefore the Chiger. since he was not fit on day one, there's no tashlumin for him. So the yisod that we're drawing out from Rabbi Yochanan is anytime you're not fit for something, you don't get a makeup for it. Okay? We're expanding at making that a broad rule that we think Rabbi Yochanan holds. We have a kasha on that. Nitma biyom mevi. Balayla eno mevi. So let's remember the entire case I said about Nazir. Let's say he was nitma bayom on the eighth day in the morning, right before he brought his karbon. So over there, how many karbonos does he bring up to Tumah? Went to mikvah on seventh night.
Right.
He can bring his karbon at 7 in the morning. He's going to wait till 9 in the morning. And at 8 in the morning, he becomes Tumah. Does he bring one karbon to Tumah? He's got, like Wayne said, he's got to count another 7 days of Tara. But does he bring one karbon to Tumah or two karbonos to Tumah? So Chizkiah says, Nitma Bayom, if he became Tumah on the eighth day, maybe a second karbon. Why? Because his entire 7 day period of cleanliness, of Tara, that warranted a karbon, that's completely over. We put a stamp on that. And therefore, this new Tumah warrants a new karbon. And therefore, he brings a second karbon Tumah after he waits another 7 days. However,
I'm sorry. So he brings the first carbon, and he's
brings the first carbon, alternatively, he's going to count on 7 days and then bring two carbonos at the end.
Two together.
Correct. However, balayla eno mevi. Chizkiah says if he saw tuma or became tame on the night, so it's true he went to the mikvah, he's tahor, but can you bring a carbon at night?
No,
you can't. So technically speaking, he wasn't really out of the 7 days. Because even though he was in a certain sense, but he wasn't in the sense that he couldn't really bring a karbon yet. And therefore, eno mevi. Since he's not out of it yet, he's still subsumed in those 7 days, and therefore he's going to have to wait another 7 days, but at the end of that, he'll only bring one new karbon. One karbon toma. Okay? But now listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af balayla nami mevi. Rabbi Yochanan says that even when I become Tame at night, I have to bring a new carbon. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan holds that the fact that I am ra'oi to bring a carbon, even though technically I can't because it's night, means that there's tashlumin for me. So right now, I can't bring a carbon because it's night. But I'm out of my tumah. So I bring a new carbon.
You're saying
He's chayev,
but because it's night, he can't do it.
Right.
So the chayev gets extended.
Correct.
So that chayev continues for the second time.
Correct. And now, let's play that into the case of chiger. Now, the reason why it's a kasha is Rabbi Yochanan told us that the chiger on day one, once he couldn't bring the carbon, he never gets an opportunity. So why does Rabbi Yochanan say, this guy on the seventh night, he can't bring the carbon, so why don't we say, no tashlumin for that, meaning tashlumin is the wrong word, but there's no karbon associated with that, because if you couldn't bring a karbon, that's it. You should be out of the game. So it's a stira. The Gemara is posing as a stira. How come Rabbi Yochanan says, when it comes to a chiger, just because he can't bring a karbon day one, now he never gets a chance, but yet, a person who can't bring a nazir, who can't bring a karbon on the seventh night, he does get a chance to bring a second karbon tumah, when he becomes Roy again.
It's a different case, because there's no eligibility with the
So that's going to be the Gemara.
There's never a minute of eligibility as opposed to the first guy who can, it just can't do it at this point, right?
Right, that's good. That the Gemara is going to explain that. But that's a good distinction. Meaning, I was saying that one of them is a complete disqualification, if I understand it correctly. Right. The Chiger is a complete disqualification. It's not that it's not a technicality. It's he's not a person that can bring a carbon, whereas this Nazir, he's doing everything right.
It's not the right time.
It's not the right time. Yeah, so time versus person himself. That might be a distinction. But at least right now, that's the Gemara's contradiction. So, Amr Birmiya, Shaini Tuma, Diyeshla Tashlum Pesach Shaini. Birmiya says, Rabbi Yochanan really holds, in general, that when I am not fit to do something, I don't get a makeup. However, we find a precedent by Tuma that I do get makeups. What's the precedent? Pesach Sheni. Which is pretty much the source for all makeups in the Torah. And that's a Tumah makeup, right? A person either who's far away or he was Tamei on Pesach Rishon, he gets a makeup. So Rabbi Yochanan was viewing that as is, in general, by a chigar I hold, if you're not fit at the time, no makeups for you.
Could he do a Pesach training?
What?
Could a chigar do a Pesach training?
With chigar, we're not talking about the current Pesach. We're talking about, the chigar is not part of the current Pesach. We're talking about a chigar being putter from Re'iyah specifically.
It's only Re'iyah.
So now what we're saying is that Rabbi Yochanan said, in general I hold, you weren't fit, you don't get makeups. But when it comes to Tumah, which the Nazir is discussing a case of Tumah, it's an exception, we allow makeups. Why? Because we see a precedent in the Torah where we're more lenient when it comes to Tumah, that we allow makeups because we allowed it for Pesach Sheni. So Maskev Rav Papa asks, Ha Nichol Amanda Amar Pesach Sheni Tashum in the Rishon Hill. That's fine if the way you view Pesach Sheni is a makeup for Pesach Rishon. But not everyone agrees to that. Some say Pesach Sheni, is a new regel. It's not for a makeup of Pesach Rishon. Okay, interesting opinion. I analyze why that would be the case. But if that's the case, then Mekel Neymar. Then we're back to the Kashan Rabbi Yochanan, because now he does not have a precedent that you make up things when it comes to Tumah. Ella Merapapa is a little bit what I was saying, Kesav Rabbi Yochanan, Laila Eina Mechusar Zman. It must be Rabbi Yochanan holds that night is the right time for a karban. Meaning, this is actually not a makeup. When we say a person comes tummy on the seventh night, it's the same thing as becoming tummy on the eighth day. Because once you pass your 7 days of tahara, you can bring the karban. What Laila Mechusar Zman means is, you can view the nighttime in two different ways. You could say on the one hand, that the Torah obligates me to bring a karban on day eight, by day, when it's light outside. Okay? If that's the case, then it's possible to bring a karban at night. Okay? That's one possibility. That would be Laila Mechusar Zman. But Laila Lav Mechusar Zman means, no, nighttime, the Torah said bring it on the halachic eighth day. We know the halachic day starts from night. So you could bring it on the eighth day of night. What's the problem? Avoda is possible at night. It's a separate issue with that. You're not going to get a karban who's going to be on duty. He's going to say, sorry, I'm off duty right now. I don't do this at night. So there's a technical reason why you can't bring it, but the karban is perfectly acceptable. In which case, you can't compare these cases at all. There's no makeup here. That when we say another comes tamei on the seventh night, it's the same exact thing as him becoming tamei on the eighth day, meaning his 7 day cycle was complete. Mm-hmm. He's already in a new cycle. That's why he brings a new karban tumah. Not because he's not fit and a tashlumin. Nothing to do with that. Rabbi Yochanan holds, Laila is la enum chusar zman, meaning the seventh night is perfectly acceptable to bring a karban, just because you can't do avodah at night. Says the Gemara, Mir Rabbi Yochanan hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that nighttime is really a proper time for karbanos? Now this, you also need background on. Okay, so we know the concept of a zav. A zav and a zava. We don't have these re'ios nowadays, although we treat nidos as zavos, right? Because normally a nida wouldn't have to wait that many days. A zav awaits shivanikiyim. A zav, a male zav, awaits shivanikiyim. A zav, someone who has a certain emission, which we don't have nowadays. So, as opposed to a zava, who her re'ios have to be on consecutive days, a male just has to see three re'ios. They can be back to back to back. And if he sees those, he has to wait shivanikiyim. After that, same thing. He goes to the mikvah, seventh night, eighth day, brings a karban, very similar to the nazir. And those three re'ios, the Chazal assume the first one, when he sees one, that's like balkeri. We assume that's like nothing, just a general emission. Then the other two, if they're followed up, then we mitzdar them together, okay, three re'ios, now you're a zav, now you do your 7 days of cleanliness, and then you bring a karban. So the issue is going to be very similar to what we had in nazir, in the sense that, let's say a person sees re'ios on the seventh night, on the eighth day, when he's counting his shivanikiyim. Is that part of the karban of the initial 7 days? Is that considered a new karban, right? Very, very parallel to the case of Nazir. So more easy to understand. So now, v'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, ra'a achas b'layla, hushtayim bayom. Let's say a person saw one re'iyah on the seventh night, after his 7 clean days, and then 2 re'iyos on the 8th day before he brought his karban. So then, maybe, then you bring another karban. Okay, why would that be? Why would you bring another karban?
because he was chayev?
The assumption is that since most of these re'iyos were at a time when he's already starting, he has a chiyuv to bring a karbon, like we said by Nazir, so he has to start a new count, mamela he has to bring a new karbon. However, shtayim b'layla, ve'achas b'yom, eino mevi. If you had two by night and one by day, then you don't bring it. Now, why would that be the case? It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan thinks that the nighttime is still part of your 7 days. So if you only had one that night and two by day on the eighth day, let's go with the majority. The two is in a new time period, and therefore you would be warrant a new karbon. But if you had two at night on the seventh night and then only one by day, if he's assuming that the nighttime is still part of your seven, then you're basically still as part of your original 7 days, so it would only be one karbon. So now, why is this a problem? Because we just said, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Laila is enum chusr zman. Is the seventh night part of the seven, or is it part of the eighth day? What do we just say? What does enum chusr zman mean? Is it part of seven or part of the eighth? Part of the eighth. Enum chusr zman. It's not lacking, meaning it's already, it's part of the day eight. So, hold on one second. If Rabbi Yochanan holds that the seventh night is part of day eight, then why when you see two at night and one by day, does that not warrant a new karbon? If the seventh night is already the eighth day for all halachic purposes, it's even you saw three by the eighth, it should be warrant a new karbon. Rabbi Yochanan says, does it? So, v'isak day hadak, sabar Rabbi Yochanan layla, inam chuzir zman, then afilu shtayim b'layla v'achas b'yom mevi. Even if you saw two re'iyos on the seventh night and one on the eighth day, that should warrant a second karbon because that seventh night is ki'ilu, the eighth day. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan really holds Laila's inim chuzr zman. Ki kam Rabbi Yochanan ledivrei ha'omer Laila mechuzr zman. Okay, you know, sometimes the Amorim would say, I hold one way, but according to you, this is the pshat. That's what Rabbi Yochanan was doing here. He was saying, I hold Laila inim chuzr zman. The seventh night is part of the eighth day, so I would hold you bring a second karbon, but I'm just saying out what the other opinion would hold. The other opinion who holds Laila is mechuzr zman. The seventh night's part of the 7 days would hold that if you saw two re'iyos of a zav on the seventh night and one on the eighth day, you would only bring one karbon because those two re'iyos are really part subsumed in those 7 days. Says Gemara, divrei ha'omer, what kind of logic is this? Rabbi Yochanan has explained the other opinion. Pshita. What's the chiddush? What did you tell me that I didn't already know? The Gemara answers, shtayim b'yom v'yachas b'layla estrechalei. The one where you have two by day and one by night. Why? Sakadaitach amina kaskafta de Rav Shisha breder of Idi and kamash malon kidder of Yosef. Because you would have thought, this is a Gemara in Krisus, so you would have thought like Rav Shisha breder of Idi's kasha, and therefore we hold like Rav Yosef's answer. Now what does this mean? What did he explain? So the question really is, can you according to the opinion who says, Laila is mechusr zman, meaning the seventh night is really part of the seven previous days. Here it's different than Nazir, because you're trying to be mitzaref re'iyos. You need to have three re'iyos in a time period. So the question is, if I have the seventh night re'iyah, and I have eighth day re'iyah, if you assume that the seventh night is part of the 7 days, and the eighth one is part of the eighth day, then how am I combining re'iyos? So you might have thought, in a case of two on the eighth day and one on the seventh night, that those cannot be mitzaref. Because that first one, if you say Laila's mechusr zman, is part of time period A, aka the first 7 days, the next two re'iyos are seen in a different time period, and therefore I cannot combine them to form a three re'iyah cycle. That's what I would have thought. Kamash malan what? Kamash malon, that the first re'iyah, we're not really using it to be mitzaref. Like we said before, the first re'iyah is just balkeri. It's really the next two re'iyos that are essential. So the first re'iyah got the ball rolling. The next two are what solidifies that you're a zav. So therefore, even if the first one was seen on the seventh night, which perhaps is part of those initial 7 days, the fact that I have the two on the eighth day, I can use that first one, put them together in one nice little package, and that's considered three re'iyos, that should be mechayev me a new karbon. Or not, but at least we would have to have a minute that wouldn't be the case if you're mistari for them. Kamashman, you could. I know it's very complicated.
One sec.
We'll move on.
What's the halacha? How close together do they have to be? 3 years.
They can even be day after day. The chiddush is they can be back to back to back in the same day.
Or you could skip days.
Or you can skip days. Correct.
You can skip days, it doesn't, you know.
I think of it as a pattern. I think you can do it. I think, Zav, you can do that. So now the Gemara says, we said in the Mishnah, there are certain things that are uncorrectable. So Amarli Bar Hehe Lehillel, this is a Yeshiva Boys Choir song, if any of you are dabble in that. I don't know how they chose this Gemara for a song, by the way. So we were trying to explain there are certain things that are chisaron, that are lacking, that cannot be. So when you have something lacking, a chisaron or something, what's the opposite? You fill it. How do you fill it? What's the word for fill? Mole. So the pasuk should have said chisaron lo yuchal limalos. What does it mean? Lehimanos means cannot be counted. So it's just not the right parallel for the word chisaron. It should have said lehimalos. So ella, rather, it must be teaching me something else. Ze shemnuhu chavir l'dvar mitzvah pulo nimna imahen. You know what it's teaching me? You know what's uncorrectable? You know what's a really bad thing? When your friends say, come, let's go do a mitzvah together, and you say, I'm okay. That's not good. And the Nitziv, the Merom Yisrael, says, this is even when I say, I have another mitzvah. I'm not laying on my couch. I have another mitzvah to do. Because there's such a big idiot of doing a mitzvah in a group, Berovam Hadras Melech, and a Tzibor, that should take precedence. Well, that coincidence. So that would take precedence over my own mitzvah. It's more important for me to be mitzvah for the tzibor to go do a mitzvah with them than to do my own mitzvah, even though I'm doing a mitzvah. Now, by the way, why is he called Bar Hehe? So Toso says that actually this person Bar Hehe was a ger, he was a convert, and we called him Bar Hehe because Hehe was the letter that was added to Avraham. And Sarai to Sarah. So a ger in Halachah L'maaseh, if they don't have a father's name or mother's name, what do we say? They're Ben Avraham or Ben Sarah. So Bar Hehe means the son of Sarah and Avraham, another way of saying he's a ger. And similarly, Ben Bagbag is also, Bagbag is Beis Gimel, also Gematria Hey, also son of a ger. He also was a ger. Now, I just saw this morning that Tosos Yontov at the end of in Pirkei Avos, he says two possibilities, that not like this Tosos. First of all, it's possible that when we refer to someone as Ben, it's because they died young. So for example, we have Ben Azai, we have Ben Zoma, they all died young. Sometimes we call someone Ben because they died young, so perhaps Ben Hehe or Bar Hehe and Ben Bagbag died young. He also points out, why do we call one of them Hehe and one of them Bagbag if they equal the same thing? He says because we have to. They're both Gerim, they live in the same town, the same place. You have to differentiate them, and how do we differentiate them? Bagbag apparently was a little more into the Nistar. He was a little more Kabbalistic, Rav. So we gave him the name where even the Gematria was hidden. That's what Tosyon says. Bagbag versus Hehe.
Both songs, by the way. Both songs. Bagbag also.
Yeah, but Bagbag is also a big song. That's right. holding in the Jewish music. Okay. Tanya Nami Hachi. Mu'uvos lo yisko liskon. Ze shebidal kriyashma shal shacharis or kriyashma shal arvis. This is exactly what Wayne was saying. Brachos daf chavav. That another crooked thing that can't be fixed is when I miss tefillah, b'mezid, like Wayne said. It's because b'shogi gehat tashlumin, when I miss it b'mezid, I have no opportunity to make it up. Now, what's fascinating here is the Kolbo says a shita, which you probably never heard or seen anyone do. Have you ever heard of tashlumin for kriyashma? We think of tashlumin when it comes to Shmona Esrei. Right? I make it up at Mincha, I make it up at Mar, I make it up at Shacharis. But if you look in the Gemara here, it says, you know what you cannot make up if you miss Shmona Esrei of Shacharis or Shema of Shacharis or Mar. Implication being, if I did it b'shogig, I would, Kobo says this.
I think it means you can never do a Tashlumin for Kishma ever.
But this Gemara puts it, groups it together
with
Shmona Esrei. Right? It groups it together. So that's the Kobo's opinion. But again, it doesn't sound like you're passing out halacha l'maisa. And again, we said, chisaron lo yuchal imanos, eshenu chavei l'dvar mitzvah, pulo nimna imahin. Amar le'bar hei le'hillel, ma'idichse v'shatem r'isem min ta'ik l'rasha bin ovid el-kim l'asher lo avdu. Right? V'shatem r'isem. We'll come and see the difference between a ta'ik and a rasha, between one who serves Hashem and one who doesn't. So it's redundant in the pasuk. We say, "Hainu tzaddik, hainu ovid elokim, hainu rasha, hainu asher lo avdo." A tzaddik is someone who serves God. A rasha is someone who doesn't serve God. So why the redundancy? Some are led. Gemara says, "Ivdu below ivdu, tarvaihu tzaddik gamurininu." The one who worships, who serves Hashem, and the one who doesn't, they're both a tzaddik. So what does it mean? A tzaddik doesn't worship Hashem. Ve'eno dome shone pirko mea pa'amim l'shone pirko mea ve'echad. You can't compare somebody who learns something 100 times, somebody who learns something 101 times. So much so, the person who only learns something 100 times, he's called an eno oved elokim. Now, one more line that I'll explain that. Amar lei, v'shim chad zimna karle lo avdu. Really? One time he's lacking, you call him not serving God? Amar lei in. Yes. Tseyulamad, mishuk shel chamarin. From a marketplace of donkey drivers. Asara parsi bezuza, chadasar parsi betray zuze. To go one parse is one zuz. To go ten parses is one zuz. To go 11 parses, right, you see a taxi. Right? For the first mile, 250. Every subsequent 10 feet is another $5. So you see that a lot of times when you add a little bit, it adds on a lot more. So here the 101st time is so important that it actually makes you as an even Ovid Elokim. So what's the pshat on this? So my go-to pshat on this is that, and this is actually very apropos for Rosh Chodesh Adar, Purim is all about Amalek. And Amalek, you can break it down into Amal Kuf. Amal means toil, kuf. So we just said in this Gemara, someone who only toils 100 times, he's not a God's servant. Why? If you chazer shas 100 times, you really are. So what does this mean? So why is Amal kuf? What is it about Amalek, our enemy, that they get to try it, to get us to learn something only 100 times? And the answer is that Amalek's goal, which Amalek, the Yitzhara, the Satan, all pretty much the same entity, their goal is for us to not do more than we have to. Amalek says to us, the Yitzhara is smart. He knows that we're going to do what we're going to do. We're not going to just chuck it all. So he says, okay, fine. You can do what you're going to do. Just don't do anything else. Don't ever go beyond that. So Amalek's shita is Amalkuf. 100, as we know, get 100 on a test. You did everything right. You passed. You checked all the boxes. Right? When you check all the boxes, okay, I went to Shacharis, I went to Mincha, I went to Marv, I shek my lulav, I ate my matzah. Okay, I'm a good Jew. Amalek would like you to think that. Amalkuf. But the Gemara here is saying that, but where's the relationship with God? The 101st time is me doing out of ahava. It's me showing on my own that I want to do it. Doing it 100 times, again, in the mushal of 100 just being, just checking all the boxes, I didn't really show that. And that's why we say in Kedoshim, that the Ramban says, to be a Kadosh, you have to Kadesh Atzmecha b'mutterlach. Sanctify yourself with things that are mutter. Meaning, some things that are, they're okay on the books, but we still refrain from them. Right? We don't overindulge in our eating. We don't go to certain places even though there's no Isser being violated. There's the 101st time, there's a certain Hashkaf in Judaism that goes beyond the checking the boxes. And that's why, when we say, Kadesh Atzmecha b'mutterlach, it's Rosh Tevos Kuf Amal. Kadesh Ayin b'mutter mem lach. Why? Because it's the opposite of Amalek. Amalek is Amal Kuf. All you gotta do is serve 100 times, check all the boxes, but the inyan of going above and beyond, of putting in that 101st time, that's Kuf and then Amal. Check all the boxes, and now let's see what you got. You want to be an Ovid Elokim? You want to not just be someone who just checks the boxes and just says, I'm just going to, you know, go through life and... No, this Gemara says you're not. So in Rosh Chodesh Adar, when we're trying to combat Amalek, the way to do so is the 101st time. And that's the comparison over here. You can't compare someone who goes through the motions to someone who really feels a connection and makes extra effort. That's what the Gemara seems to be telling us over here. So Amar Le Eliyahu Blubar Hey, Amar Le Elazar, My Dichsi V'Nei Tzarfascha V'Lo Kesev B'Chartucha B'Kur Oni. That the way I created you, I didn't create you with silver. Rather, I put you through an oven of poverty. Melamed Shechazer Gadosh Baruch Hu Al Kol Midos Tovos Litan Yisrael V'Lo Motza Ela Anius. God wants to say, what can I give the Jewish people? You know, I'll give them poverty. That's really good for them. Amr Shmuel be tamer of Yosef. Hayda Amr Inchi, Ya'an Yusla Yuda. Poverty is so good for a Jew. Ki barza sumka l'susei chiyura. Like a red strand on a white horse. So what's the pshat here? We would think that poverty is not good in the sense that, not that we need to be rich, but that we want to be able to have a life where we can, you know, have yishuv hadas. So a lot of them trot them over here, but simple pshat might be that it's the contrast. It's the fact that what does a Jew do with his poverty? The same way that a red strand is only noticeable on a white horse, right? Poverty might only be noticeable in a Jew, because when it comes to a guy, they'll just say, all right, God's out to get me. When a Jew experiences poverty, that's often when he can climb to the highest of heights. Now, we don't wish this upon anyone, but if Chas V'Shalom, a person does experience this, it forces him to recognize that God's really in control, that God controls his entire life, that his parnas is not up to him, and that can elevate him higher. So it's almost like that red strand on the white horse. It shows a true colors of a Jew, and Anias could be a mashal for any challenge. We go through so many challenges in life, and those challenges really show who we really are. It's the good times anyone can say, I love God, He's the best. But when we experience Chas V'Shalom challenges, it's up to us to take those challenges and make the most of them. We'll stop here.
Very nice. I wonder if Harha was the guy that converted.
Oh, why you say that?
Because didn't they